give the Lord a hand in here. It's all good this morning. Glad to see each and one of you in here this morning. It's still possible. It is possible if we believe. Have a mighty good time today. Thank you all on the program this morning. We're going to stand and read from our scripture. We don't have it up for you, of course. But I'm going to be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at the 10th verse. And it reads, the NIV, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Yes. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord. And then they went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Amen. You may be seated. And I will, as you seated, I will read the last few verses. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy Eli. And she said to him, pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I pray for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord, for his whole life will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Amen. Heavenly Father God, we just thank you for the sunshine this morning, that we're able to see the sunshine this morning, Father. And thank you for the Son, the S-O-N, Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, who makes all things possible, who made salvation possible for each and one of us. Father God, have mercy on my soul. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse, make me right in your sight. Humble my spirit, Father God. Help me remember whatever you have me to share with your people. Help me to pray, to preach from the Spirit, Father God, from the Holy Spirit. Pray your word touch hearts and be uplifting, be encouraging to help us stay on this battlefield. Help us touch sinner man, sinner woman, to lift the brothers and sisters up in Christ. We just thank you for being so good this morning. Thank you for this venue. Thank you that we can have a place to worship. Now, Father God, have your way. Have your way, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, welcome to God. At the storefront assembly. When I was a little boy, this was National Grocery Store. And my mother used to bring me here as a little boy.
And now look, I'm going to be up here having a service in the same little place I'm walking through looking for some M&Ms or whatever. God is good. I mean, it's really good to see all of you all here this morning. We are still talking about our series, Prayer Makes It Possible. Prayer makes it possible. So we're on part three of this message. Have you, or is there anything that you're grieving about today? Is anything that your heart, you just feeling downcast, you're burdened with, something that you've been asking God for, and he hasn't provided it yet? Somebody said peace sound like it. Yes, sir, peace, my brother. Some peace, he may not have given it to you. That job she prayed about, you may have not received. A restoration of your family member. Someone offered drugs that you've been wanting them to get off drugs. Whatever the case may be, if there's something that you've really been hurting and grieving or have before in the past, the other question would be, what have you done while you're going through this situation? And what you're going to do if God answers the prayer when he answers it? Well, you can look at what we have before us today in this story. You're going to see our young lady named Hannah was going through. But you're also going to see how she responded and how God responded when she poured her heart out in prayer. Give you just a brief context. We already spoke last week. We're looking at 1 Samuel. Like I say, we're not sure who wrote the book of Samuel, but some believe he may have written it, but he passed before some of the things had taken place. Some others may have contributed to this book. Can you hear me okay? I need to hold it up. Okay. So this comes down to the end period of the judges, when the judges was ruling or leading them into battle or judging between the ruling the Israelites. And then you have Samuel. You have Eli, a priest that you're going to see here, judge. And then Samuel takes over as the last priest and judge under this, at this time frame. But I want us to look at, in our theme, that we're talking about prayer. Prayer. If you look at verse 10, I just want to start off with a point. We must fervently pray to our Almighty God when we are experiencing great anguish. We must turn to our Almighty God, that means all-powerful God. And some would say, and you look, read this text, when you see Almighty God in this text, this is the first time it really surfaced. But we must turn to the one who has all power when you are just depressed. You're troubled in your spirit. Some may be troubled right now. Some may be troubled because we over here. Whatever it may be, whatever deeps in your soul, we must turn to the Lord in prayer. How can you say that? In verse 10, it says, in her deep anguish, she's going through. Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. Have you ever just cried and prayed? You have to cry and pray. She is going through. She's hurting. But why? How did she get to this point? Well, let me back up for you to see how we get here. We had Echaniah, which is her husband. He messed up and got two wives. He messed up right there. He got two wives. All right. He gonna just need one, brothers. Just need one. But he decided he wanted two. So he had Hannah and Peninnah, right? So Peninnah was able to have children, but Hannah couldn't. But Echaniah loved Hannah deeply. Now, of course, when they go to the temple in Shiloh, they go every year worshiping, giving up offering sacrifices. They would get some of the meat to get his portion of his food. He would give Peninnah her portion. He would give Hannah double portion, showing great favor to her. But every year they keep going back and forth, worshiping at the temple in Shiloh, the tent of tabernacle. Somebody want to be a bully. Peninnah kept provoking her and teasing her, bullying her. I guess she even in essence saying, I can have children and you can't. Year after year, here's Hannah hearing this every time someone is bullying her, provoking her, talking about her. You may be going through the same thing. Talking about you. You are saying why you don't have children yet and all of that kind of stuff. And you trying, you hoping, and you wishing, or wherever the job may be, you ask, you want that, but someone is talking about you. This made Hannah very sad. She was weeping bitterly. She stopped eating. She was depressed. When you're depressed, you don't want to eat. You're just downcast in spirit. And then, bless his heart, her husband, don't I mean more to you than 10 children, sons? Don't ask that woman that question. Don't ask the woman that question. But he cared for her. I'm your husband. I care about you. Don't I mean a lot to you as well? But she still had a void in her life. She was unwhole in spirit. Because in those days, a woman, childbearing was very important. It also is one way to keep the family line going. And so a man will get another woman in order to keep that family line going. Don't do that, men. All right, let's not do that today. But she has gone through so much anguish, being teased, she could not have the child. So that's what brings me to 10 here, that she prayed, and therefore you turn all your issues over to God. 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe, say, cast all of your what? Your cares, your burdens on the Lord, for he cares for you. When it say cast, anybody work with the big rice sacks or anything like that? And you got to throw them on the truck. Might be 50 pounds, 100 pounds. And when you pick it up, it's heavy, right? You have to squat and you throw it up on the truck. That means you have to carry that whole load. You have to pick it up and throw it over. That is to cast it over. That means everything you are experiencing has to be given over to God in what? Prayer. She turned to God while she was at worship. Verse 11, whatever blessing we ask of or from God, it must correspond with blessing him in return. Look, she made a vow. Lord Almighty, if you look at your servant's misery, look at my situation I'm going through. If you just look at me and remember me and not forget me, I'm praying to you. You see my situation. I promise you one thing. If you give me that son, I'll give him back to you. And no razor will ever be put on his head. She said, I'm going to give him back to you for his entire life. That's in her prayer now. We in the prayer phrase. She's praying. Look up what she put in her prayer. What you bless me with, I'm going to dedicate it back to the Lord. Oh, that's coming. Now, when you say no razor on his head, that's what they call a Nazarite. A Nazarite is a temporary separation, sanctifying yourself temporarily. And you don't shave your head or anything like that until that period of time of being sanctified is over. But with her son, she's never going to have an end period. She's going to dedicate him to the Lord forever. She's going to be set apart to serve God forever. So when we pray, our motivations for God should include blessing him in return. Not just to get a job because I just want to do my own thing. But what you going to do when you get that job? When he answer that prayer, when he turn your child back over to you in good space, what you going to do with it after that? that should be in your prayer. 1 Corinthians 10:31 say, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So whatever you're asking God for, if we want healing in our body, our mental state, our emotional state, what are we going to do? We should give glory to God. You ever been around a person before and all they do is get, take? Every time you see them, they want something from you, right? We have family members like that, okay? Your phone ring, oh, I haven't heard from in 10 years. They want something. Right? Oh, how you doing? How your family doing and everything? Get to the point. You want something. Right? That is true. There's some folk who just come, get. But then when you need them, they're not there for you. Right? But this is what I'm saying here with this text I'm talking about. We shouldn't always want to get from God and ask for all his blessings and not give nothing back to him in return. That's what I'm saying. We ought to be able to be praying, Lord, I'm going to bless you back whatever you bless me with. I'm going to give you some praise and some glory. Verse 12 through 16, my point I like to make here is that keep on praying from the depths of your soul. Keep on praying from your heart, even if it brings unrighteous judgment from other folk, especially religious folk. If you look at verse 12, even after she prayed, what happened? She kept on praying. Even though she said, Lord, I'm going to dedicate this child to you, but she kept on praying. She was praying in spirit, and she praying, her lips moving, praying from her heart. And here Eli the priest say, you drunk, lady. Put your wine away. See how the judgment came? You doing stuff for the Lord, but you looking at what you think you see is not what it is. But you keep on praying because folk going to say they shouldn't have been in that situation and all kind of stuff. When they hear you praying out your heart, you crying out to God, they see you downcast, depressed, crying, folk going to judge you even in the church. But you keep on praying because you know who you leaning on. You know who you talking to. You know where your heart is. You keep on praying. But look at a humble spirit. Hannah replied to Eli, even though he thinks she's drunk. She didn't go sister on him. Now, look, let me tell you. I ain't drunk now. You better get it straight. Don't get it twisted around here. But you look at her humble spirit. She's going through. No, my Lord, I'm not drunk. I wouldn't do such a wicked thing. I'm pouring my heart out to God. I'm going through. I'm pouring my soul out to the Lord. Don't take me as a wicked woman. I've been praying from anguish and grief. Anybody in here in this situation this morning? For the things that you desire and just have not come to fruition yet. You anguish, you grieving. You keep on praying. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. You keep on praying. Don't stop praying to the Almighty God. Psalm 34:17 says, the righteous cried. The Lord hears and delivers them from all their trouble. I'm talking about crying out. I'm talking about some true praying, not just some religious. I got 1 minute to pray. Let me say, our Father who's all in heaven. I'm just talking about somebody crying out to the Lord. I mean, you going through, but you have to go to him. And he promised, you cry out to him, he'll deliver you from what? All your troubles. It might not be the exact blessing that you want, the exact thing, but he's going to deliver you. Verse 17, I like to say, we should pray and pronounce blessings upon our sisters and brothers. How can I say that? After Eli said she was drunk and she responded and told him, I'm not. Look at what he did. He said in verse 17, go in peace and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. So how do I get that point? We should pray and pronounce blessings upon our brothers and our sisters. When we see our brothers and sisters going through hardship, you see that they're weeping and they're grieving and struggling and their prayers not being answered right now. It feels so good if you know someone else is praying on your behalf as well. They ain't talking about the person that he pronounced blessings on that person and pray that God answer your prayer as he's a representative of God himself. We should be doing the same thing. You see what we're going through as a people. You as a person, we ought to pronounce blessings and not curses. Know why? Because prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Hannah praying and Eli's praying. Prayer changes things. Look at verse 18 through 20. She said, he pronounced the blessing. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. What happened? Right after that, she got up. She's already standing. She ate. She got something to eat. Prayer changes things. Now you just crying and going through and struggling and downhearted. After some prayers went up and got some blessings upon you, it gives somebody some strength to change. And her whole countenance changed. She ate and started worshiping the God. Her face was no longer downcast. That's some good news. God is a prayer. He changes things. Then she went back home. Her whole life started getting back in order. She went back home, had relations with her husband. God came down and saw her and remembered her. She got pregnant. Yeah. She had the child. Yeah. And named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. God changes things, my brother. Everything that she was praying for, he changed her circumstance. Got up and ate, but through prayer. Prayer makes it possible. Then what happens in between here, verses 21 through 24, Hannah had the baby. She had to wean. She had to nurse him for a period of time. She had to wean him off. Samuel was going to the temple, but he wasn't. She said, no, I got to wean him first. He respected her. He went to the temple, but when it was time, Hannah got her child, if you read the scripture, as young as he was, and she went to the temple. She carried that child. Sometimes we just look at that child and we ask God for that blessing and say, I changed my mind, Lord. I love it. I love this blessing you blessed me with. Huh? But she didn't change her mind. She went. She walked up on Eli. I'm the one who stood beside you praying by the doorpost where he was. And now the Lord has blessed me with this child. And now I'm dedicating him and giving him back unto the Lord for his entire life. For his entire life. Her one and only son, she is giving it back up unto the Lord. It would no longer be in her presence no more. She was committed to honoring God and blessing God with the blessing that she asked for. She prayed for it and she did exactly what she said. What are we asking God for? Oh, what have we received that we are willing to dedicate to the Lord? What is it that he've already blessed us with and we pray for that we're willing to give God the glory and give him all the praise, all the honor, and use it for good? What I'm saying, you got that job, it's going to be a place where you'll be able to share the gospel, where you use that money to bless other people when you didn't have the money at first. You keep advancing in your career. What glory is God getting out of it? Is you devoting yourself to more prayer time, checking on the needed, whatever it may be. He heal you from drugs, whatever it may be. What are you doing with it? Are you dedicating your life or it? That house you're praying for, that big nice house with 34 floors. What you going to do with it for God? Is it going to be used for God's glory? Or is it going to be used for pride to let folks see how well I'm doing? Or you going to have folk over and have some Bible study? Or someone need a place to stay temporarily? Or you going to let them sleep in one of them bedrooms? That's what I'm talking about. It's going to be used for God's glory. Or it's just for show. Whatever that God gives us, it's to give him glory and to be dedicated back to him. Everything he blessed us with, our children, our husband, our wives, the same thing. I left that out. That wife or the husband, that man you're looking for, what you going to do with him when he God bless you with? Or her? Take it right out the tree. I got him now, Lord. We don't need to go to worship now. We going on cruising. We going everywhere, traveling. Amen, it happens. But with your family, that relationship be dedicated to the Lord, honoring God in your relationship. That's what I'm saying today. Prayer makes it possible. My subtopic was really, bless me and I'll bless you. Bless me and I'll bless you. Bless me, Lord, with whatever I'm going through, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, economically, whatever it may be. Lord, you bless me with it right now. I'm going through so much pain. I'm going to bless you back in return. But you know God has already blessed us with the greatest blessing of all time. The greatest blessing of all time is Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When he saw our sinful state and there was no hope at all but an eternal damnation of our soul. There's no way out of this condition. But he's loved us so much, God sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross for us, shed his blood for us, to redeem us, to restore us for the rest of our lives by faith in him, to put us back in right standing with him, to cover up all our sins. Remember no more. That we have eternal life, eternal fellowship with God in heaven for the rest of our life. The rest of our life be dedicated back to God. That's the greatest blessing. And if he bless you that way, for every sin you can even imagine that you think about right now, yesterday, last night, done when you was 2, done when you was 15, when you were 35, 69, everything you've done, he covered and paid for it all. Is still blessing you, feeding you, clothing you, providing another facility for you, all the blessings. More importantly, eternal blessings. When you die, when your casket have to be here tomorrow, you know your soul rests with the Lord forever. So that's why we was back there with the young adults this morning. I'm going to let you go. Man, it was a blessing this morning. But we were talking about the Sunday school lesson. John Joseph, I think he taught this morning. But that in there was what? Celebration. Right? We ought to celebrate when God delivers us. So when we come to church, we're not coming to see, I'm going to see what that pastor got to say today, see how good he is, see how he messed up and all that kind of stuff. We're not coming here for knowledge. Only we coming for what? To give him glory and celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the roof ought to be coming off the place when the choir is singing. I think all of us ought to be standing and clapping our hands because we ought to be celebrating because he delivered us from sin. In other words, blessing him back from blessing us. Let me, y'all tired of me. Let's go home. We have to accept him first. In order for him to hear our prayers. Unless you're a sinner, he hears a sinner's prayer. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I need you. He hears that. But for God to answer our prayers and have the right relationship with us, we have to have a relationship with him. Is there one right now who does not have a relationship with God? And put your faith in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I ask you to come. And put your faith in Jesus, your Lord and Savior. And you can go to him about anything. When you accept him, he saves you. He is your daddy.